Blog Talk Radio.
Forbidden archaeology, forgotten history, divination, magic, cryptozoology, UFOs, nature, science, and spirit. All this and more right here on the Main Street Universe Radio Network.
With Darren Bouquet. My name is Daniel Michael, and I'm the founder and co-creator of the Main Street Universe Radio Network. And before we continue, we'll remind everybody that Main Street Universe is, in fact, a network of seven shows, including this one at 5:30 p.m. Eastern Time, Spiritual Insight, with your host, Mr. Darren Bouquet. And Darren is a reader of tarot and palmistry and other spiritual services at Marie Laveau's House of Voodoo in the magical city of New Orleans. On Mondays, 10 p.m. Eastern Time, we have Science of Light with your host, Mr. Randy Goldberg. Randy is a Vedic astrologer as well as a Western astrologer. One time he was voted one of the top five metaphysical shows here on Blog Talk Radio, and a little e-sign that we as the hosts receive, or at least me as the founding one receives. So congratulate him on that. 10 p.m. Eastern Time, Jungian archetypes as well as Western astrology. And he's a local around here, Mr. Randy Goldberg. Then on Tuesday evenings at 10 p.m. Eastern Time, we have Green Magic, Green Medicine with your hostess, Miss Susan Weed. And Susan is the founder of the Wise Woman Center. She's written many books. Check her out at susanweed.com. She has a bookstore there. Herbal medicine is people's medicine, that is her saying, and it's a half-hour class on herbal medicine. Very valuable information. Each week is packed with information for just a half hour. Then 7 p.m. Eastern Time, the main show, the flagship show, the one that started it all, Main Street Universe, myself and associate producer Janice R. White. It was founded by myself and Mr. Kevin J. Baird, the creator of the Horizon Oracle. 7 p.m. Eastern Time, check it out. Then Thursdays at 10 p.m. Eastern Time, when she returns, it'll be Renegades Woman Radio and her show, Queen Mother Imaku. She teaches original language prayers as well as comedic yoga and many other things, some social action and awareness as well. Queen Mother Imaku. By the way, I do believe that two or three of our hosts here at Main Street Universe have all had the unusual honor of being images on a tarot card. Queen Mother Imaku was the Queen of Cups at one point for the New York Tarot, and Susan Weed was in another tarot deck from a long time ago. I think it was a Dianic one or something like that. So I just thought I'd let everybody know that. Then on Fridays at 5 p.m. Eastern Time, we have Walking on the Sidewalk with your host, Mr. Kevin Baird. And Kevin is the creator of the Horizon Oracle cards as well as an artist. Frozen Smoke, I have some of it hanging on my wall. He is now working on a device called the Pathfinder, and the Pathfinder is an electronic device with sensors and other things and vocal responses to communicate with spirits. So check him out. Then at 12 midnight, we have Activating Compassion in the Midnight Hour with your hostess, Ms. Jessie Ann Nichols George. She's the author of four books, Activating Compassion and Its Companion Workbook, as well as You, Me, Life, Dreams, and Its Companion Workbook. She's had many great guests, including some good philanthropic guests such as animal charities and other things. And she's a very educated metaphysical practitioner as well. So check her out. And that makes up right now the shows on the Main Street Universe Radio Network. And I see Darren is in the queue. I'll go ahead and turn it on. Welcome, Darren.
Hi. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Spiritual Insight with Darren Bucher. So, Daniel Michael, how are you this Sunday evening?
I am well. And it is an interesting thing that I don't know if I discussed with you.
Uh-huh.
I've been gifted not one, but two divination decks this week.
Mm-hmm. And you say divination deck, what's the
Yeah, one was a tarot deck and one was, well, Kevin made a new version of the Horizon Oracle and he sent it to me. And it looks good.
Oh.
It's got a little logo and symbol on the back of the cards now. They're made of better card stock and all that kind of stuff, and they look much nicer, actually.
A little more upgrading of that. Oh, that's good. Well, that's good to hear.
And also, the very first tarot deck that I ever owned, I bought it with a friend. We both bought it together.
Uh-huh.
And I bought it in, I guess it was 1990 or 1989, and it's the Mythic Tarot. So I got that back, too. I was visiting my friend. It had multiple owners, and it ended back up with him. It stayed at his mom's attic for a while, and now he doesn't use it for anything, so he just gave it to me. So that was pretty
interesting.
Cool.
Interesting. The Mythic Tarot, I'm kind of familiar with that one, I believe.
They don't make the print of the one I have anymore. It
was
more of a watercolor look.
Was it more of like a Grecian sort of mythos, or was
yes.
it? Yeah, that's right. Not familiar with that one.
It was Grecian.
Yeah,
and I have is a lighter watercolor look to it. They made a reprint that was a much like brighter looking one. I actually like the one I have better, and it's a very pagan deck. You know, it's just in its symbolism, if you know what I mean.
Oh I'm familiar with it. I wonder why they stopped prints of popular decks like that. You know, like the one I have, the one I use a lot. I haven't seen it in ages, and I remember I bought it at Marie Laveau's when I started reading there, like in 2000 or something, and I have not. I haven't seen it since. So and it's getting. I mean, it's been used. So I'm wondering if I'll be able to find it again if I, you know, I mean, it's got some miles on this puppy right here. But that's why when I give people a choice of what to pick, they pick it a lot. If they're in person with me, you know.
Yeah.
They tend to look at that one as having some good juju to it. This evening, talk about synchronicity, symbiosis, and just psychic communications with your dogs. Dogs, you know, having the moniker of man's best friend are very, very tied into our emotional wavelengths and vibrations and that sort of thing. So when we give out scary energy, your dog's going to pick up on that. When we're afraid, you know, and then, of course, depending on the breed, and depending on your unique relationship that you have with said animal, because everyone has a different relationship with their animal, you can strongly send them powerful messages on a daily basis using power words and using just your thought, your expression, your hand gestures, but all of that also conveys energy through your throat chakra and your sacral to really impact these animals in a way that really helps you continue that, you know, synchronistic relationship with them. So communicating with your dog and using the energy that you put out in your chakras and knowing what you're putting out, I think it's good to be aware of that. Because if you're consistently berating and saying negative things to your dog, then you're going to get an animal that is feeling, you know, not like they're under fire or defensive on some levels.
Right, I agree.
You know, I had a moment with Titania just now where, you know, I'm constantly resetting up my altars because I just moved, right? And I have to, like, you know, get all these, like, clients and stuff, like, stuff, but I, you know, have their stuff go in this place and that place and this place and that place. And it's just a lot to do. And here she comes up, and she's like, what's up? I'm like, hi, you know, like, okay, you know, like she's underfoot and she's, and I'm like, okay, just go downstairs. So obviously she's telling me she's got to pee, right? I mean, I wasn't quite aware, but I figured it out really quick. Then I wanted to finish whatever project I was working on. So it took me 5 minutes to finish it. I go downstairs, and she couldn't hold it, so she peed in the litter. Okay. So, you know, I had to let her know, put her face in and say, you cannot do this. You know, whack her a little bit on the butt and say, don't ever, you know, because we're getting to a point of where she really, unless something freaks out, she usually doesn't do anything like that, you know. And she's going on 14 weeks old now, so it's good that we've built that up with her, but we got to strongly let her know that it's in no way, shape, or form is that an okay thing to do. Now, the minute we go outside and she pees outside, I constantly reinforce her that she did a good thing. So, and while I'm doing that, I'm opening my crown chakra up. I'm connecting with higher energy, and I'm also trying to open her, like look into where her crown chakra would be on a dog, you know, open her consciousness up and directly send that message to her that this is where you're a good girl because you did, you know, you went to, you know, bathroom out here, and when you're, you know, if you're doing the alternate, then that is definitely the wrong thing to do.
And just like a person, if you're constantly being negative, you could end up with kind of a skittish pet. Like, I knew a guy who was kind of mean to his cats. This is years ago. And his cat was just a scaredy cat. He was afraid of everything. Because I think it was just always thinking it was going to make a wrong move, you know? Like, is this okay? You know?
Right, right. Like, and you may not realize that everything that's coming out of your mouth is negative. You might not realize it. But if the only thing they hear is negative, let's say the rest of the time you're passive, but then occasionally when you do get a little bit vocal with your animal, it's to berate them. So what are they really, what are you really, when you're impacting energy on them, what are you really impacting them with consistently? And if it's negative, then we're really looking at, you know, somebody who, an animal who's is dealing with something challenging. And, you know, I knew, for example, that when we got a pit bull puppy that, you know, yeah, this is an animal that probably will want to chew everything, okay? So I have to just calm down and realize that when I see her chewing the wall, chewing the wall off, that maybe this, she just needs something to chew on. So I get her several items to chew and show them what they are, show her what they are, and then do my best to open up that message and directly send it to her. People ask me all the time, like, well, how can you do this reading for my dog? Like, you know, you do pet reading? So I'm like, yeah. Like, well, how can you do it? I'm like, well, it's the same way. It's the same method I would use to connect with someone else's energy. Now, as far as, like, the palm reading I do, I wouldn't be reading it. Any paws, that's not happening, you know. Party. Right. That's not part of it. But as far as opening up to energy and integrating that into something, it's the same method. Now, if I'm using cards, that's something that's really easy to do. Actually, you know, you just sit down with the dog. If anyone who is savvy with tarot card reading, and I don't know, have I ever gone through this with you about how I do readings for animals before?
I don't think we've talked about it on the air. Anyway.
Have you ever talked about it? No. Well, for those who are listening to, the method I use is that I just get them in a very calm space, and I go down to floor level with them. And first off, for me, I could ask my spirit guide anything. So I can ask my spirit guide what's going on with the animal. But as far as empathically and to utilize the tarot cards, what I do is get down on their level, and then I kind of put the cards, kind of fan the cards out around, you know, in front of the animal. And then what I do is just try to get into their energy, really connect with their energy, and then I ask directly what the question is, you know, like, okay, let's say, you know, figure out, well, what's going on with Captain Snuggles, you know, is he doing okay or what's going on? And if the answer is, you know, and then I pick some cards on it. So let's say I'm a, you know, normally I would have a client do that. But now I'm doing it, and I'm picking cards, and they're going to relate directly to Captain Snuggles. And let's say Captain Snuggles is not happy because I did this really interesting reading for this small, it's a Boston Terrier. Is it Boston Terrier? No, that was a Jack Russell, actually. Right when I moved here, and the Jack Russell was very upset because, you know, he made up all the other, he made up, like, fun games and stuff for the other dogs, but the other dog just happened to be a Great Dane, and the Great Dane got upset with him one day and decided he wanted to pick him up, put him in his mouth and shake him. Well, he ended up injuring the Jack Russell. So their solution is to just separate those two animals. Which what they didn't realize they're doing is they're taking this small dog everywhere. This is like a wealthy couple. And they're just taking this dog everywhere they go, all over the country, all over the world. They own nursing homes. And what this dog misses being at home with the other animals. Misses being at home and misses interacting with them. So that's where that comes in, you know. And they were really appreciative of it because I saw a very clear picture of their home and everything like that. And the cards were very helpful in that realm as well. So it's really easy to kind of get a sense for what's going on with an animal and then just simply, you know, just kind of vibe into it and then look into it just like you would look into any client. Which is cool. Mm-hmm. Now, as far as clairvoyance in animals, they may be sending you a very direct message. Some people have told me they've heard, like, actual clear words from an animal. Have you ever heard of that?
Yes, I've heard people say that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I've experienced that myself. I think I've experienced just feelings, which is usually how it works with me anyway. Like, some people are visual, some are audio, and some just get like a feeling, like when you're doing a reading or whatever.
Mm-hmm. I have
like
not
just
gotten
comes
words.
In, you know, just kind of, and you just
I
feel
have not
it.
Gotten words. I feel like if there's a word coming up and I'm connecting with an animal, it's because I'm taking a feeling and making it a word. I don't
right.
feel like they're speaking words to me.
Mm-hmm.
But some people say that they've heard words and stuff like that. So, I'm not one to tell them they're wrong either. You know, like if that's what they heard, then okay.
Right.
You know, animal spirits, nature-based spirits, I mean, people connect in really powerful ways, especially with animals, that if they are mystically trained and an animal is, you know, there's the idea of familiars and familiar spirits and familiar animals and all this stuff, you know. So on some levels, when we get to that point with an animal, we get to that synchronistic point, sometimes, you know, words just can pop up, you know. But then that begs the question, how sentient, how intelligent is this, you know, is a familiar? And are they just utilizing your intelligence? So there's a lot of different directions you can take the topic and kind of go with it. I think that I kind of leave it a little bit open to interpretation. I just know that psychic development and communication is very important when you own a dog, because they're empathic anyway. So if you're not empathic back, then that's a one-way street.
Mm-hmm.
What is that?
But one thing I have experienced is I have seen ghosts or images of both cats and dogs. And I used to get the ghost cat thing all the time. Like, you feel like one's walking on the bed.
Oh.
You grow up with a lot of cats.
Mm-hmm.
And you realize there's no cat in the house when you wake up or look up or whatever. But you feel
so
like they're...
So let's talk about that. What happened exactly?
It's basically the ghost cat thing or ghost dog is when you're laying in bed and you could swear there's one of them walking on the bed. You can feel their little imprints and their weight pressing down on the bed. and then you kind of look up and there's nothing there. And I was, we grew up with lots of cats when I was a kid, so I really liked them, and
right.
And they would be around. So and it would just feel like that. It would feel like there's one or two on the bed just walking around trying to find their spot like they do, you know. And that is, it's an interesting feeling. And then you, because you could just swear something's just been walking there. And then you, and you feel like it's friendly, like you feel like it's just an old pet or something. Or some, it never really felt mm-hmm. in any way negative.
Yeah, and I've had an experience.
You're making the imprint on the mattress.
Yeah, we had I think my roommate in Alexandria when I lived around your area, she had a, and it may have been our old dog, because we lived together again. We had a black lab when we used to live together in Vermont and in Savannah. So we had a black lab. So I think we're looking at is, I think, and she passed away. So we moved back in together after 8 years, you know, as roommates, and I swear it must have been her. Because it was a big spirit of a dog, and it was around. And she would ask me, she's like, do you feel like there's a dog around here? We, you know, and she had a Vizsla, which is like a, you know, kind of a...
And if you remember,
there's but the Vizsla wouldn't be there. She wouldn't be there, or she'd be in the other room, and we would feel... I swear you could feel a big dog, and this lab was like 110 pounds, like moving on the side of the couch or here. And then it wasn't a human. It wasn't human. It was like dog level, you know?
Right. But it reminds me, there's a legend of one of the, oh gosh, it's going to slip my, the name. One of the great alchemists of old, in antiquity or whatever you want to say, they claim that he survived by his spirit going into his dog or something like that. I don't know if you remember that story. And I don't remember if it was Cornelius Agrippa or which one it was, but it was one of those old, well-known alchemists for people that study those things. And it was rumored that he didn't really die. He survived in the spirit of his favorite dog.
Now, that might have been some sort of riddle or anagram or something that meant something else.
Of course, it does.
Or he may very well, or he may very well have gone into the damn the dog. But I couldn't imagine that it was his end game. Because if he figured out how to get in the dog, he probably had like an idea for what to do next. You know,
yeah,
because
what we
like,
did.
These guys were badasses. Cornelius Agrippa, you know, John Dee, Hermes Trismegistus. Like, these people, they were, they had, as much, you know, they acquired as much knowledge as they could.
Yep.
And by the time they started to get into their 50s, and yes, they did live that long because they knew how to take care of themselves, they were looking for that. They were looking for the philosophers. They didn't want to die.
Right.
Like, and I hate to say it, but being somebody that works and is contracted and does magic a lot in a week, all the time, I'm going to tell you that I'm not. I might be at some point in the market for that, or looking for something that, you know, like what's the you know, the key to not immortality, but what are some of these really, you know, like what direction to go into. And obviously it's not public knowledge, even though there's so much knowledge out there that's just easily, you know, accessible. But
yes.
And then how can we integrate it? And, you know, I mean, there's so much I've learned already in the last, you know, 20 years that give me another 20 years and I don't even know what.
And what's interesting is this, because I do believe in, and this is, of course, personal to everyone, I mean, I do believe in the transmigration reincarnation model, meaning that we come back as some kind of other person.
Uh-huh.
But however, there's a difference between that and coming back still having your consciousness as Dan Michael or Darren Bouquet. That's what I think the Egyptians were trying to do with their magic, the Egyptian Book of the Dead and all that. It was like to survive that gateway and not to lose your memory of who you were.
Well, my wife has several, she has like mortician-y stuff, but she has several canopic jars, you know, the plate, and you know what the canopic jars are for, right?
Say again. I'm sorry.
They would keep when they mummified somebody, Egyptians. She's all in Anubis because she's a funeral director, but they would mummify you, but they put your important organs in the canopic jars in the same room with you. So that way, when you woke up, when you needed them, then you could just grab them. So, how that makes any sense at all, like, oh, there's my heart, needed that one. Oh, gallbladder, yeah, I'm not going to worry about that right now. I'll get to that later. Set that up later. Important ones. Like, they just, but they wanted you to have all your stuff for the afterlife. Now, I like, and I hate to do this, but I love the book. And I had her last time I ran into her. I had her sign an autographed copy of it for me. But I do just happen to love The Witching Hour. Mostly, you know, it's largely a portrait of New Orleans, which, you know, I love New Orleans. But
right.
Also, one of my favorite character in it is Uncle Julian, who is like the one male, you know, witch who could kind of control the major spirit of the book and all that sort of thing. But anyway, he would work with by location all the time. People would see him in one place. He'd be walking down the street on the other side of the street. He would constantly be doing all these things. But also, he did not want to leave his family. He did not want to let the women of his family screw his family up, so he wouldn't leave. And he was old when he died. So what he did was he impacted all sorts of blood and stuff, and his hair, and basically put his essence into a victrola, so when they played this victrola, he could show up whenever they played it.
Oh, that's awesome.
Right. So that made me think, I'm like, wow, that's a good way to do it, you know, or something. Because we have, we have these talks all the time about, you know, because she, obviously, I think she wants to get cremated or whatever, you know, and it's her business, so she's always like, well, what, I don't, you know, because then I could have it set up or we could get it done free or whatever, you know, that's part of what we, and I'm like, well, first of all, I'm not thinking about any sort of macabre, weird stuff, you know, but that's, I understand it's your business, so, and I'm always like, well, you know, I probably want some sort of shrine or something where people could leave stuff. I mean, what, I don't know what kind of spiritualist I'm going to be if, you know, at the end of the day, I do become somebody that really inspires people and you know, I finish a couple of the books I want to finish and create a real conduit for people to connect with spirit. Then I get, you know, some of these TV shows off the ground that they're talking about. Then, I would want a place like a Jim Morrison spot where people could come and connect with that, you know. And then everyone's always like, you should donate all your organs and stuff. And I don't want to do that. What about you? How do you feel about that?
I have a feeling. Give me a second. I have a feeling. My house is getting loud. I have a feeling that if something, just some kind of thing to immortalize in memory of, I guess, the things I'm passionate about and the things I've worked on, and some of that will exist, you know, some of it already does, you know, I've got some recorded music out there, people might remember Main Street Universe, but hopefully our band gets more notoriety and become at least a somewhat known musician. And as far as trying to survive as Dan Michael into the next life, I think it's more important that I just made an interesting impact on it for those to remember when I'm gone. And then I'll just be whoever I am in the next one.
I think that's a great point, too. Immortality doesn't mean that you have to exactly be here after your body dies. It might, you know, like your art, your philosophies, your music in your case, you know, like whatever it is will probably, you know, could be your opus and your immortality, but that's another reason why I think it's good to pay attention to what happens to your body afterwards, because I don't want anybody grabbing my, like, pinky finger and deciding that they want to, like, try to control my spirit through my pinky finger. You get my point?
Yeah. So are you thinking like cremation?
No, I just maybe want a very controlled, you know, some sort of little place people can go if they really wanted to connect with who I am and go to that spot, you know?
Okay, so I didn't know if
saying
you meant, like,
Jim Morrison, but like, you know, like maybe, or like Gandhi, or you get my point? Like, that's what.
Well, probably, I would imagine you've been at Marie Laveau's long enough. If you did pass away and the store was still there, mm-hmm. they probably put a little tiny corner of the store for that there.
There's no tiny corners of the store.
Yeah, it looks pretty crowded.
Every space is utilized for products that they have. But yeah, no, there might be something. Look, the city does revere its little local heroes, so there might be. There's stuff we do.
Yeah.
So we'll see how these TV shows go and what happens, and I don't know. We'll see.
We aren't sure yet.
There's a couple of other real big names in the city, and then they didn't really decide to go with any of them. So they're still bopping some ideas around with me, and they want to flesh that out. So we'll see how. I would say this. If you're a spiritualist, you know that anything's possible.
Right.
Like when we put parameters on ourselves, then, you know, that's when we say we can't do that or it's not possible. And
right.
That's where I think that we find life a little challenging is that we're telling ourselves we can't do this. So,
and that's very easy to do
uh-huh.
when you feel a failure or something starts to not work out. It's so easy for people to fall into the victim status and go, "Oh, here we go again. This isn't going to work," you know.
Right. So. And let's go, going back to the topic, I would say can, if you believe that you could communicate with your dog, then you can affect and modulate your dog's behavior. Now, here are some factors that, going back to the topic, here are some factors that I think are interesting, is that factor into your dog's happiness and the positive behavior. Environment. You know, the way you communicate with your dog is important, but the way everybody communicates with your dog is important too. So who do you live with? How do they interact with your dog? You know what I mean? How does that work? If you have four roommates and they all hate your dog, that's probably not good. That's probably not a good situation. Okay. So now, are you attentive to the dog? You know, do you attend to all its needs in a timely fashion or not? So that might be shutting down or causing a lot of real visceral attitude. So as long as you're doing, you know, it's really not that hard to really, you know, as long as you have a timetable and you know what the dog doesn't need that much stuff. You know, they need some toys occasionally and then maybe a chewy and a treat, and then they need to get fed, like, you know, however many times you want to feed them a day. If it's twice, great. If it's three times, great. And, you know, if you miss one of those times, they will let you know, and they will probably not be happy. Other than that, they need to go outside. So as well now, you need to take care of that stuff. So if you are, then I think that you can have an open corridor to their needs and wants and to their feelings and then you can impact their behavior by what the message is you send. Or do you disagree?
Oh, no, I agree.
Mm-hmm.
And I did want to say that we do have a caller, Darren.
Oh, okay.
And they've been waiting pretty patiently for a while.
Oh,
I wasn't sure if they were on
the... I forgot about them.
Here they are. If I can get their microphone on. 619, are you there?
Hey, Daniel, it's Steve and Darren.
Hey, how are you doing,
Hi,
sir?
How are you?
Very good, very good.
Good. So do you have anything to share about dogs and communicating with dogs?
I've always had a dream or wish to be able to communicate with animals, read their thoughts. That's one of my goals in life.
Oh, beautiful. Okay. Yeah. Do you have an animal? Right,
no.
A dog or any?
No,
at the moment.
No.
Okay. Have you tried to experiment with that, or tried to open up your consciousness to?
When I was in the grocery aisle, I would, you know, in the line to bring in my purchases, I would like send pictures to animals to see if they turn around and look at me, or things like that.
Oh. So what was your?
I think it happened once.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
Just like people, because I do that with people all the time. Some people are very.
I've done it with people too. Yeah, and because I wanted this guy to let me in line ahead of him because I didn't have much and he had a lot, and he did, so it worked out.
Right. See, some people are real open and they're receptive to it. Now, if people are distracted, if they're inebriated, if they're just really mad, then you might not be able to get your message across.
Exactly.
I found this out. We used to be on a pool league, and I'm not very good at billiards, I'll be honest with you. Pretty terrible. They lack the focus and mathematical precision that a lot of people have with it, or the patience to just sit and do it consistently. So what I would do, and this is highly unscrupulous, so I'm sorry for all you wonderfully karmically balanced people, but we were on this pool league, which is really bad, so I hope they're not listening right now. But I can put a picture of, you know, the ball being a little left of center when someone's shooting, which basically doesn't help me be a more accomplished pool player, but they will miss and miss and miss and miss. And you see some really accomplished players get very, very frustrated very quickly. And now you see this person get angry, and then they get upset, and we're in a bar setting, so now they're drinking more. And then suddenly I can't send the thought as clearly because now they're inebriated.
You
get my point?
Right, I do.
So there's modifications to that. I just said that on the radio, so anyone that's played pool with me. But I'll even tell people, I'm like, yeah, because I don't know what you believe. You don't have to believe me, but I don't. Just because it's frustrating for me, you know. But I should just spend the time and learn how to be a little bit better. And actually being on this pool league for a year or so, it helped me actually get the game together a little bit. So that's good.
That's cool.
I got off. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I'm not real big into, like, darts and bocce ball and pool, but some people are. They get all about it. Daniel Michael, are you into any of those things?
I'm a very lousy pool player. I just start playing. I don't mind doing it. It's just to have a physical activity to do, but I'm not actually paying any attention to the game. I never know what's going on, or I forget what I'm doing. it's almost just like a social event.
For people that are a little bit out of their body, it's not the best thing. If you're a little floaty, like over psychic, a little over like spiritual,
air sign,
pool is
like,
not. I think you're where you want to be at. You know, it seems a little challenging. I guess,
but I liked it as mostly just a social event only. I could literally care less whether I win or lose. That's how I am. I'm just walking around talking, having a drink, whatever.
The problem with this,
my little brother used to have a pool table in his basement.
The other people, you will occasionally run across somebody who's very, very concerned about the game.
Yeah.
And very concerned about what's going on. And very concerned about the fact that you're not concerned. You're like, I don't care. Did 85 readings today at the store. Don't care. Just got off of work. Because our pool night would be like the one day I work during the day. And I have a busy Wednesday. And then we go to this pool league thing. And people are like, oh, you know, there's no, do you want to call timeout and consult with the coach or something? I'm like, no. I don't care. They're like, well, why don't you shoot for this one? Because you have a better angle. And I'm like, I don't. Don't care. Maybe I'll just shoot this one, you guys.
To me, it's more like I'm just happy to not be working and to be hanging out with my friends and or family at the time.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just like, it's just a social event. I'm having a drink. I'm shooting a little pool. Win or lose, I care less.
Right, and then they had me playing like this guy from this bar I had walked by where they had to put. He's got a billiards, like, equipment shirt on, T-shirt. I'm like, do they pay you to advertise? Like, what? how serious about this are you? And you're playing me? Like, wow. Like, you go home and, like, chalk up your cues and, like, get them all in a row and nice and just,
Virgo.
You know, watch professional pool tournaments. You know, like, stuff like that. Like, how serious about this are you? Like, geez.
I think it's a Virgo game.
Yeah, it might be.
So, could I get a reading, a general reading?
Okay. What's your question?
A general reading.
Okay, hold on. We want to do a look at what's going on with Steve. What is happening right now, Steve? Oh, magenta or orange?
Oh, you threw me. I thought you were going to include white. What color is magenta? I'm not familiar with that.
What color is magenta? It's like lighter purple. It's between purple and pink.
Yeah, I like that one. Magenta.
Okay. One moment. Okay. Well, I don't know if it's going to work out. I don't know. I got the world inverted. It means that your path right now is not the exact path that you need to be on exactly.
Okay.
It's you know, could be anything from probably a lot to do with job, with... Now, I forget the last time I talked to you, but...
It's
I'm getting the three cards I got are about someone not being upfront with you, and it's not being your path to connect with them. And then I got the Three of Swords, which is like, you know, getting stabbed in the heart. So it's telling me that you're probably the Seven of Wands inverted means someone's gonna do something deceptive to put you in a very uncomfortable or high maintenance situation. And kind of be a little duplicitous. And then for me to get the Three of Swords after that is a pretty much a direct correlation into that.
Mm-hmm.
So what you want to look at is whoever you're involved with right now on whatever levels, whoever the most intimate person that you're really giving a lot of your energy to, just realize that they may not be 100% honest with whatever they're telling you right now, unfortunately.
So
which kind of sucks.
Are you feeling this is like an interpersonal relationship?
Well, okay, let me break it down like this.
Okay.
I don't know what you have going on in your life. For me,
right?
You know, like let's say when I was single, that could have been one of like three friends that I had, four friends that I see all the time.
Uh-huh.
Right now, if this was my reading, it would be how I'm getting along with my wife, hands down. That would be the only thing it could be. You, I don't know who's important in your life. Maybe a casual relationship that I would have for you would be a mega huge thing that's going on. So who in your life is the most important interpersonal situation? And it may be work-related, but I don't know.
Well, I'm not in a relationship now, so I don't know who that could be. It might be work.
Yeah, but what relationships do you have with people at work?
Casual.
Okay, but intrinsically it's saying someone's going to betray something and really upset you and really spoil your faith in the situation.
Mm.
So, I don't know what... Let me say this. If work's the only thing that you have going on,
right,
it's very defeating if something at work, somebody screws you over at work.
Okay.
If someone hires me to do an aura cleansing for them and then they tell me they have to cancel at the last minute and I don't get paid for it, my life's not going to be over. I'm not going to freak out. But if
right.
the only thing I had going on was my
right.
job,
right.
I might freak out about that.
Right.
Do you get my point?
I do.
So it's telling me that I don't know what's good. I think I told you like 3 times that maybe you need to look outside of. What do you do again?
I manage a call center.
Yeah, you don't. You why do you? You shouldn't. What? What else do you? Do you have a BA?
No.
Okay. So let's look at what you can do to further your professional cachet. You probably have a fair number of years experience in some sort of management. So let's look at what else you can get involved with, because who would be the person that's kind of screw you over in this? And it's probably upper management or whatever. And it's maybe just screwing you over on a possible raise or time constraints or scheduling. And it's something that's utterly defeating because you know you deserve whatever you're asking for. There's no reason they shouldn't acquiesce what you're asking for, but they're still doing it because they're taking you for granted. Which, for me, I wouldn't give a shit. But for you, it's a big deal because this is your, a huge focus for your day, for your week. So, my point is, maybe, again, I think this is the 3rd time I'm telling you this. You need to really look outside of your standard ideas for, obviously you don't, maybe you're not, have you looked around lately or anything like that?
No, not lately.
Okay. Well, I keep seeing that you should.
Okay.
And now, because you're not, the universe is saying that, oh, wow, now you're going to be disappointed by something huge. Someone's gonna step on your toes, and it's gonna feel like very defeating. So let me say this, and Daniel Michael, please back me up on this because he's heard this. He's heard this with a couple different people that have called me on their show, and I maybe end up saying I forget what I told them initially, and then as I'm doing the reading again, I see the same thing come up. And it's basically telling me you should do this, you should do this, you should do this. So I'm saying your job isn't terrible, but your spirit guide wants you to figure out what else you can do with your life. If you don't do it, then the universe will also make things uncomfortable until you do.
Okay.
Which is probably what we're looking at.
And that's what they call the difference between one of my favorite phrases or sayings is fate pushes you and destiny gently pulls you, meaning that if you don't start doing something different, it'll be the difference between a push or a gentle.
Sorry, Ty. Yeah, she just sent me a psychic communication. Actually, that wasn't psychic. It was more of a task gas right on me. Thanks a lot, Titania. Good job. But I think that's a pit bull and a bulldog thing. My sister's bulldog is the worst with that. I'm going constantly. Not to change, I'm sorry, not to downplay what we were talking about, but it's terrible.
But, so I think it's the difference between someone pushing you off the boat to make you swim or being gently pulled into the right direction. So that's how I view it. Like
yep.
You were saying. It's the message that you think he needs to start pursuing something else, and that's what his spirit guides.
Well, if I've said it, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I think I've said something to that effect. This would be the 3rd time. So now it's more of a, okay, if you don't, then this is what it looks like. And it looks pretty much like when I get the 7 of Wands, it's like someone sneaks up behind you with a big stick and whacks you in the back of the head. The clear idea about that is that you don't see them, you don't expect it. You're usually with the 7 of Wands usually means you're so busy that you don't even have a chance to really figure out that anything like that would even begin to happen.
Mm-hmm.
So my point is this, and here's the thing: if you're management there, and you're managing these people, and if you look at it, this is a very big, for them, it's a big startup position. you know, it's an entry-level position, then you're dealing with a lot of people that maybe you're dealing with a lot of, you know, hourly, not showing up, stuff like that. And then if they're not appreciating the fact that you're putting out a lot of your energy to do this, and there's no validation or recognition of what you're doing, then it could be very defeating. So there's that.
Okay.
Now this is
but,
a different reading.
Would you like me to pick a card? Ask what you should do in this situation. I mean, I already kind of suggested it, but I could ask Spirit what I get for like what
That'd
you should do. Maybe I don't know.
Sure.
Okay. Hold on, just a moment. We want to ask, given the situation with work and all that jazziness, what can Steve do to kind of make things a little bit, or transform his situation in a powerful way so that he moves into positivity? Oh. And that Three of Swords just popped out again. I'm telling you, that Three of Swords is trying to make itself known. So I think that if you're dwelling on heartache and it's hard for you to move forward, then it might pop up again if we're not careful, Hauser. Okay, you ready for this?
I'm ready.
I'll be very clear. It's time for you to transform your life.
Okay.
You need to share your life with somebody else in their space. You need to share your physical space with somebody else. That means sex. That means your home. That means your day-to-day walks, going to the movies, all that stuff. You need somebody to balance your energy off with. You need someone to balance in, your physical space with and balance you out. That's what you need. So you cannot put that on the back burner anymore. It's not okay.
Okay.
Now, that doesn't mean you walk around and put a big D on your head that says, I'm desperately trying to get it. No, but you tell the universe that you're ready to change, that it's important, and that you want to accept the gift of balance along with somebody else to share your life with, because it's time.
Okay.
And that's what you mean. I got the Two of Pentacles right side up. So I don't think that's too far-fetched. I think I told you that you had something like that in the works anyway.
But how does that relate to the job?
Job doesn't matter. I asked what you should do in this situation.
So that's
the job priority. The job is just what you do for money right now. It's not a vocation.
Right.
It's not a career.
Right.
That means you don't have respect for what your soul wants, and that means you're not really fast-tracking yourself into A, you know, the right career, B, the right relationship, C, the happiness of feeling at peace with yourself. And that's why you get the world upside down. The world means, okay, everything, if it's right side up, it's like, okay, I'm on my path. You know, Mr. Bluebird's on my shoulder. I know I'm moving in the right direction, and everything's cool.
Right.
You're being validated. If it's upside down, guess what that means? You're not doing it right now.
Okay.
You know what you need to do, but you're not doing it.
Right.
Now, I asked what you should do, and it basically said you should get laid. That's it. And not worry about your job so much.
Okay.
That way, when it happens, when whatever I just saw happens, it's not such a big deal. It's a job. You do it. If they don't appreciate you, you go get a new one. Better one. That's it.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And I think, if Daniel Michael will tell you, I probably had a very similar conversation with him once upon a dream in Washington one time. Or didn't I, Daniel Michael?
Something similar, yeah.
Something in that neighborhood.
Yeah.
He was like crabby about, I don't know, Trader Joe's or something. I don't know, but yeah.
Right. Yeah, I was stuck in a job where it was so monotonous.
Right.
I just I just felt like my spirit was literally just going to throw me off the building if I didn't change it. I couldn't even believe it every night.
So what happened?
Right, and, you know, and then you just
changed. I changed it. I'm still not doing exactly, but I've progressed into something else, and then I'm going to keep progressing into other things.
But how did you get out of it? I mean,
I have the skill of that I'm an electrician, and so I started working for myself as an electrician. I was trying to generate work and things like that. So right now I'm self-employed. I would like it if I was a little busier. There's a couple barriers in the way, but they can be overcome. But it's been going okay.
So, and that's the key, too. I'll tell you what. If you want to do something, and I told Daniel Michael this, too, you let the universe know that you want to do it. You know, that's it. I mean, for me to say, oh, I just want to be a psychic for a living, you know, that's like caution in the wind. Okay, what if nobody wants to talk to me? What if I don't get, you know, return readings? What if people don't, then what? What am I going to do? Sit out on the freeway and sell oranges? Like, you know, but... So I used to bartend once upon a time, like 6 years ago, and it's been 6 years that I haven't had to do anything else, and I like bartending. I can tell you all about different vineyards all across the world. I used to be a food critic, but I like that aspect of it. But the thing is, I can't deal with the late night and not, you know, in that atmosphere all the time. So I told the universe, I said, I need to do this. I need to do well in my business. Please actualize this. And I will do what I can on my part to make sure that I have as much skill and as much confidence and ability in what I do if you give me the prosperity and abundance that I need. And so far, it's worked great. But if you don't ask that and do it, you know, if you don't really try to manifest it, then...
What if you've tried to manifest it and asked for it many times before... And it hasn't come about.
Are you asking for specifically, exactly? Do you know what specifically you're asking for?
Right, I am, and I do. But I'm just wondering why it hasn't come to pass.
Well, I asked specifically what you should do, and it said you should get laid. So let's say whatever you're trying to do, your method hasn't really worked so far.
Right.
So
I
asked my spirit guides, and I asked the cards, and I got you should get laid. That's it. Sometimes it's something you think is completely irrelevant to the situation.
Right.
Is actually
they
the
open
most
a door, no pun intended.
Oh yeah, this is what I wanted to tell you. Women make you do stuff you don't want to do. Let me be very clear when I say this, okay? Or relationships. Doesn't matter if you like same sex, do whatever you want. I mean, people, when you are in a relationship or when you're taking somebody seriously and you're sexually attracted to them, because that plays a part, then you do things out of your normal comfort zone.
Right.
So, say, for example, I started really getting into my business when I wanted to, you have a motivator. You know what I'm saying? And it makes you move to that next step.
Yeah.
Okay. Got it.
So this is that's what I think the variable is going to be for you.
Okay. I appreciate it very much. Go ahead.
I'm thinking, like Darren's saying, like it'll open a door to maybe someone's like, look, why don't you go back to school for something? And something about that, just like he said, having a partner does have a way of
your
motivating.
Your energy is not bad. It's just inert. It's not moving in any direction. It's
a little stale, that's all, like stagnant water.
It's a little, yeah. It's a little, just, there it is, you know. So we add a little vibrancy to that, and suddenly, because it's not bad, it's just inert.
Right.
That's all. So do I think it's going to happen? I do. Do I think you could prolong more of this new and non-reactive stuff for another 3 months? Sure. And it might be a depressing 3 months if what I'm looking at is true. So I'm here to say, don't do it.
Right, because a couple of weeks ago you said you saw major changes like within a month and a half, which I'd like to believe, and that sounds good to me, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I did, and then I still see that possibility, but you're mm-hmm. slipping back into this. You're changing your energy again.
I wasn't aware of that. I was not aware of that.
Well, I'm aware of it because I looked at you a couple weeks ago too. So, if you know, I do see stuff.
But what would
cause
me to do
that? A good direction.
Well, what would cause me to do that? I mean,
I don't know. I don't know what's happened to you in the last 2 weeks. Have you been really bored and depressed?
Not really. So, I got some extra responsibilities at work, but I was compensated for it, but still. That's the only other thing I can think of.
See, something's happening. Look, maybe I'm part of the equation that pushes you towards the really wonderful changes that are coming up, okay?
Uh-huh.
Because now, I'm saying, look, I'm very clear. You're feeling underappreciated. You know, you're feeling pigeonholed, and you're feeling like, you know, so you make the path to positivity. You have to decide to walk on it.
Okay.
I can't, you know, tell you that it's definitely going to happen, and you just sit back and go, okay, that's going to happen, so I'll just sit here and wait for it. If you take it for granted that it's going to happen and you do nothing and you're not reactive to it and you're not
right. –
Then you may blow it.
I don't want to do that.
Don't blow it. I asked the universe. I said, "Hey, I want somebody to share my life with." Okay. And a month and a half later, I got somebody to share my life with. However, when I met her, if I was just in like my normal do-do-do Darren dating situation, I probably would have screwed that up in the first 2 months. Because I don't give a shit, and I'm just like, whatever, la la la, I don't care. I care 150% about me and my immediate family and my cousins, and that's it. I had to realize that if I really want to not, I guess, and I had certain people tell me, like, this is up to you to blow this. It's up to you to blow it, you know, because this is your shot. It you know, but I the world's saying, here's an opportunity. It's up to you to screw up. So you are a couple steps away from that because, A, you have to clear your energy, relax, and then you have to say, this is what I really want, and then you have to say, okay, I'm ready to accept it, and then when it comes, you got to work at not blowing it. And that's it. So it's all those things because right now you're in a malaise of just, what else? If you had a shirt that said whatevs on it, then that would explain everything. People wouldn't have to ask you what's going on. They would just say whatevs.
Yes.
All right, Darren, we're coming down to the end of the show now.
Oh, it's the end of the show. Okay.
So,
well,
I'm grateful for all the time you gave me.
Oh, sure, no problem. I appreciate you calling in. Talk to you soon, Steve. Thanks. And thank you, everyone, for calling in to Spiritual Insight with Darren Bucare and Daniel Michael. Do you want to sign off for us, Daniel Michael?
Sure. You're listening to Spiritual Insight, which is one of the 7 shows on the Main Street Universe Radio Network, the network reminding you that the mysteries and possibilities of the universe are closer to Main Street than you have ever imagined. Have a great evening, everyone, and a great Sunday. And thank you again, Darren.
Forbidden archaeology, forgotten history, divination, magic, cryptozoology, UFOs, nature, science, and spirit. All this and more right here on the Main Street Universe Radio Network.